brings the congregation. Next week, we will have a Bible quiz. Have you had a chance to study yet? Many of us in all these have shown me some models of papers demonstrating that they have been looking back and forth and back and forth at the passage. But we want the Word of God to come and actually into our hearts. And then after that, we celebrate Christmas. And many of our sister churches around in the Inver area, like you see in the announcement, there are many churches are celebrating Christmas at different days, different times, between now and Christmas. Many churches are celebrating the Christmas in different days. What date did Jesus come? Do we know when Jesus lived? None of us know the exact date Jesus was born. And so it is a date, it's only because of tradition. Well, we don't know exact date of when Jesus was born, but the fact that Jesus came is a historical fact. And the few verses that we have read, John said, the Word became flesh and made His glory. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father. This is someone, the Apostle John, experienced the presence of Jesus. And now, he reported in the Gospel that this glory is the glory who came from the Father. And the fact that Jesus came is a historical fact that it has influenced on every single person on this earth. Let's think about how when Jesus became, when God became man, in the Newsweek magazine recently conducted a poll asking questions about Christ and His birth. Was it real? Was it a historical fact? There are 67% believe that the entire story of Christmas is historically accurate. And 24% believe the story of Christmas as a theological invention. And another question, if Jesus had not been born, people believe there would be, what happened if Jesus had not been born? According to the survey, if Jesus has not been born, people would believe that there will be 63% less charity. And then people, 61 people believe that there will be 61% less of kindness among the people. And then 59% less personal happiness. 58% less tolerance. And there will be 47% more war. It is not, has not been born. Why do we have that kind of story? But our problem is, whether people believe it or not in historical facts, our problem is, you and I believe about the history, the Christmas, the words of Jesus, how that influenced our life. And this morning we would study together with the title, God Became Man, and a key verse in part A, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. Let's pray for guidance as we think about when God became man. Dear our Heavenly Father, who created the human being, the one who can see that we are in a dark world, in sin, and has prayed for us of salvation for the entire world. We are thankful, Jesus, because you have become one of us to carry the wrath of God on your shoulder, so that whoever believes in you will have forgiveness. So please help us to come with all of our need, so that we can experience the forgiveness of God. But if any of our hearts here still hardened, not believe in Jesus, may you have mercy, forgive them, and lift us up out of our unbelief condition, because we will answer you on the day of judgment. We pray that you will help not just to come as a religion without the ability to save us, but may we can see how when God became one of us, that can influence my life and your life. And now, may you express your words for us. We thank you. We lift up everything with a thankful heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Based on this key verse, there are 2 points that I want to share with you. The first is that Jesus has been born and makes his dwelling among us. The part says, the Word became flesh and makes his dwelling among us. John called Jesus with the name Word, capital W, Word. What's the meaning of the Word? It's just saying God created us in a special way. Each one has a tone of voice that we could not make mistaken. Very unique. When you call somebody on the phone, you can tell who that is on the other line. If we have not seen it, the faces can change, but the voice are the same. So the voice of a person that we become a unique of each one of us to be recognized. So Jesus is the Word of God. The way that we can recognize God through Jesus. And whatever God wants to reveal to us, we can look at Jesus. We can listen to what Jesus says. We know that what God wants to tell us through Jesus is Word. God has told us even from when Adam and Eve has been created in the garden. Adam and Eve was created according to the image of God. Their lives completely are good before God. But then Satan has entered into the Garden of Eden and caused Adam and Eve to sin. God has lived up to Satan to according to Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. This is a prophecy talking about the salvation plan later, though it is the very beginning of history when humankind was created. But God said, the offspring of hers, the woman, not his. When Jesus came, it's only by a virgin, not because the union of a man and a woman. 2,000 years before Christ, before Jesus came, and God said to the Abraham and Isaac, all the nations will be blessed through Abraham. And that descended. Talk about Jesus will come from that. 1500 years before, God said to Moses, the one who led the Israel people out of Egypt, that Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israel. You must listen to him. That prophet is Jesus. 700 years before Jesus was born, God told Isaiah, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. We have seen this in the previous week. And that son is Jesus. And before Mary was conceived, God told Joseph and Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And the night Jesus was born, and God, by his voice, by the angels in heaven, told the shepherds that someone Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Luke chapter 2, 11. And also in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him all was pleased. And also in John 3:16, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on them. And many years, the word of God came and came and came. And Jesus is the word of God to reveal God to us. There is only one way for salvation from our sin. There is only one way that can experience everlasting life. That is, receive Jesus that was given by the Lord. So the voice of God has not changed. And God and Jesus is always the way out of this sinful world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why did God have to become human? Jesus, God only need to declare or say, but can be saved. But God did not say what to his word only, but he himself has to become a human like us. The word became flesh. He has become like us. When Jesus became man, is the difference between you and me become man? The difference is that Jesus was not born to become flesh like us. In the Bible, the humankind, the flesh, talking to us, the physical body, expressing that we are limited by our physical body. We only live maybe 100 years. When God has determined for the human that we can only live maybe 120 minutes, and so we are limited by this life on earth, and we cannot change our destiny. And so the flesh, humankind, are limited in just physical body. But Jesus did not come in the same body as we, but he was not limited by the physical body. But he became like us. He is still God, but he carried in him a body. And because of his attributes, he is not limited by the God as we are limited by him. So Jesus has been resurrected, and he is the everlasting life. And today, we have a physical body to carry the mission that God has given each one of us. The good thing that he cared for us. That Jesus became flesh like us to accomplish a mission, salvation mission that God has given him. And so there's a difference that when Jesus became carrying the body, it's very different as we were born differently than how Jesus was born. And that Jesus, he came to dwell among us. Why did he have to come? Why did God have to become man to dwell among us? There's a theologian named Søren Kierkegaard, the great Danish theologian of the 18th century. Tells a story of a prince who was running an errand for his father one day in a local village. As he did so, this man, he passed through a very poor section of the town. Looking through the window of his carriage, he saw a beautiful young peasant girl walking along the street. He could not get her off his mind. He continued to come to the town day after day, just to see her and to feel as though he was near her. He yearned, his heart yearned for her. But there was a problem. How could he develop a relationship with her? He could order her to marry him. It was his power to do so. But he wanted this girl to love him from the heart, willingly. He could put on his royal garments and impress her with his regal entourage and drive up to her front door with soldiers and a carriage drawn by 6 horses. But if he did this, he would never be certain that the girl loved him or was simply overwhelmed with his power, position, and wealth. The prince then came up with another solution. He gave up his kingly robe and symbols of power and privilege. He moved into the village, dressed only as a peasant. He lived among the people, shared their interests and concerns, and talk their language. In time, the young peasant girl grew to know him, and then love him. And they enter into true love. The difference between a royal person and this peasant girl disappeared because he forget about his royal position and became a peasant. And so he can conquer the heart of this girl. This story told us that God has done for us in Jesus, God so loved the world that he created, that as we are created for him, he carried the image of God in us. And so we have the beauty of God in us, but sin has separated us from God. And how can God save us to restore that position, bring that separation away? God has the power. With his word, God can make us to come back. But God would not allow us the heart to make that decision. And that's why Jesus has to become one of us. He came and dwelt among us. He eat with us. He drink among us. He participates in our gyms. He used our language to talk to us. And that is the way when God wants to change our heart for him. When God came into the world and walked with us because of his love, he wants to pray. And that is what Jesus has done. The word became flesh. The King of Heaven has left the royal robe without all the glory to become like us. He lived with us and participate in our activities. God can force us to become his children, but God did not do that. He chose the love through Jesus Christ to inform us, to give us the way out. And Jesus Christ came to earth with 2 main purposes. Jesus became flesh among us with 2 clear purposes. The first purpose is that Jesus wants to reveal God to human about the love of God. We know about God but we did not completely understand completely. We worship the Lord, but God is somebody so far away, has nothing to do with us. But when Jesus came in this world, He helped us to understand God is not far away. He has created us, and we have called Father in heaven. In the Old Testament, never once called Father, not Father. When only Jesus came, that He could bring us understand about God. The relationship between us and God is a personal relationship, just like Father and Son. And so Jesus taught us, pray that our Father in heaven. No religion that can bring us to the one Creator, that just like what Jesus has done for us, to bring us closer to God. And we call Him Father in heaven. We worship God through different religious activities in the Old Testament, but their heart is so far from God. And when Jesus came in the world, Jesus used the way His own life to express whoever believes in Him understand how is the true worship of God. The true worship is not just religious activities. Worshipping God is not because we bring offerings to the sanctuaries as an obligation. Worshipping God is a relationship. And Jesus, He has to pray with God the Father night and day in all that He has done. And He taught each one of us that worship God is enter into a relationship with God. It must be a relationship, personal relationship between us and God. And so we come to sanctuary without the relationship with God, then we never truly worship God. And so this is very important that Jesus came to express the relationship, that how important is how it is with the relationship between us and God. Jesus did many miracles when He was on this earth. Maybe during that only 3 years on this earth, Jesus showed His power. He can heal the blind. The deaf can hear, the mute can speak, the one oppressed by the evil spirit can be rescued. He raised them from if we recount every single thing Jesus did, maybe the whole earth should not have room enough to record what He has done. That means with Jesus, He has done so wonderful things, so many. But He performed miracles to show us what? That there is nothing impossible with God. When you and I have some issue, some challenge, we give the problem to God because nothing is hard with God. And so Jesus expressed that God is sovereign and they can perform miracles in our life. And finally, Jesus was nailed on the cross. The death of Christ on the cross expressed out the love of the Father for us. Why did Jesus have to die? The one worthy of death is us, because we have sinned. We need not God. But why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Because His death, so that we can live, we can have life. He was despised, so that we can be restored. And the cross has become a symbol of love, that showing God how much He loved us. When we know that while we were yet sinners, that we are not worthy to receive this gift, Jesus came and died for us. And the cross is the expression of love of God for us through Jesus. Jesus came to express God, express His love for us. And the second purpose is that Jesus is the only way of salvation. In this world, there are many religions in this world, and every religion thought that they can save us out of this dreadful world, to come to a place to escape this world, suffering world, full of sickness, full of death. You can see, there is no religion on earth or any effort of human can bring us outside where Satan is suppressing. Jesus, the only way to salvation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, God prayed, I have brought you glory, earth, by finishing the work you gave me to do. John chapter 17, verse 4. Jesus said like that, the salvation plan that God gave Jesus to perform has been completely done on the cross. And if Jesus has completed the salvation plan, then there is no other way but the cross. When God gave up his breath, the last word Jesus said, it is finished. It is finished means that we don't need an effort to come to God. We will not be able to bring any effort to save ourselves. Everything finished means that the death of Jesus has paid for all of our sins. And the Bible said, and therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. The incarnation, because of Christ's name, that the curtain in the temple has been torn in half from top to bottom. That means God has taken out the separation so that we can come into a relationship with God the Father. So Jesus is the only way to bring us toward God. There is no other way but Jesus. There is no other way except Jesus. And the fact that Jesus came into the world, though the day that we commemorate is not truly the day that Jesus came, because that time the calendar was not established yet. And so all the day of the historical earth is only an estimate, but it was a historical fact is that today, the December 11th, 2022. Why? Where does it come from? Because Jesus came. And because of that, we have this day. And every one of us, from the day we were born to the day we died, every activity has touched on the timeline based on the birth of Christ. When we see the fact that has come into an people and Jesus were among us and create the divide the time history into two, before Christ was born and after Christ was born. There is no other person on this world that divides time like Jesus did, like when Jesus was born. And that is the question, a wonderful thing. Why? Because Jesus is God. He's the Word, those of God who came into the world to become one of us. And that is, Jesus came and dwelt amongst us. And the second point that we are sharing here is that Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Dear congregation, last week, I have in my sermon said, if Jesus was born to become a prince or a king of the Roman emperor, that was the emperor, empire that was dominating the Middle East. and none of us will come and worship, but God might come into the world of the Roman world. When God came according to the prophecy in the Old Testament, repeatedly, that God came in a lowly peasant farmer like Mary and Joseph. Why? So that everybody can come to Jesus. God was a prince, and only the royal elite of the royal will be with Jesus. But Jesus was a lowly among men, and so everybody can come to this lowly person, more than the nature. And so that everybody can receive the grace of salvation. And John said, he came to us, he's full of grace and truth. Two facts that we know that Jesus gave us, that is grace and truth. Let's think about the first is grace. We have received grace. What is grace? Grace, that means a gift that the receiver is not worthy to receive it. That at the last breath. So give me a graceful bullet so that I can die right away. So that can end the suffering right away. A last meal of the before execution. They are not worthy to receive it or receive the food. And because we give it to him because of grace. Grace is a gift that the receiver is not worthy to receive. You and I, when we go to work, we get a wage. The wage is a exchange of for my time of service. When the house has some problem, it will be destroyed by fire, and the insurance can give us a reparation. It is an agreement ahead of time between the insurance company and the person buying that insurance. And so the insurance will have to repair according to the agreement. When you and I see somebody poor or some homeless, that we give some money to them, and that giving that only because of pity in our heart. And if our pitifulness in our heart is not touched, we will not do any action. If we save some money so that for our relatives in Vietnam or any other country, because we have that relationship with our relatives in that country, without that relationship, we would not send any money. But the Son of God came to the world to give us something that we are not worthy to receive, instead of us must be under wrath and punishment of God. God touched all sin in Jesus Christ so that we can be forgiven. God judged Jesus and condemned to death, so that we believe in Jesus will receive life. God despised his Son so that all the people who came will be receive the grace. God has mercy and grace. For us, God can destroy all of us because of sin, because we rejected God. But God did not do that. The fact that God did not judge any of sinners, that is mercy. So the mercy of God means that we are given to a sinner, that he will not judge that person because of his sin. Each of us are sinners before God. Not what we have done, because we were born already in sin. The descendants of Adam is sinful, but God did not judge us because God's mercy. But he treats us with grace. Grace means giving something that the receiver is not worthy to receive it. Not to give us salvation, that we might worthy receive. God is not saying anybody who are morally correct. God saved everyone as long as we recognize that we are sinners and needing Jesus' forgiveness. That is called grace. There's a story about story like this. An excellent, dedicated, hardworking church member passed away. He'd done so many things in church, but he passed away. As he approached the pearly gate, he noticed a sign posted reading entrance requirement 1,000 points. So he looked at the sign. 1,000 points, huh? When St. Peter appeared, the man asked, "How do you get these points?" St. Peter said, "Well, what have good things you have done in life?" The man said, "I was an immersed believer in Christ for 32 years. I didn't miss a Sunday at church in the last 14 years. Also, I taught Sunday school for more than 12 years. "Wonderful," said Peter. Said, "Wonderful," Peter said. "That's worth 1 point." The man gulped and went on and said, "Well, I also tie up my income, and I serve on the finance committee, the building committee, and I was an elder in the church. If they ever had a fellowship supper, they always knew they could count on me. I set up chairs and tables and ran errands for the preacher." And then Peter said, "Wonderful. That's worth another point." The man was perspiring by this time. He said, "I also recruited people for the church. I knew everybody in the church. I always tried to make everybody feel welcome. I took a kid to camp and sooner. I've done so many other things." And Peter said, "Hey, great. That's worth another point. Now you've got 3 points." Worry showed all over the man's face. With a note of resignation, he said, "That entrance requirement is awfully tough. I don't believe anybody could get in there without the grace of God." Ah, that's worth 997 points. But we have of our own effort has no value. So don't think that we can do this, do that to correct ourselves of mistake that we are sinning. But God did not save us by our own effort, except that person accept Christ. To accept the price that Jesus paid for that person. There were none of us to come into the kingdom of God, not by the grace of God. Jesus is the way, is the way, the way. And he saved us not because of our accomplishment, but what of all that Christ has done on the cross. Give thanks to God. We have been given grace. And then the second point, that God gave us the truth in Jesus. The fact that Jesus came to earth to die on the cross has become the truth of everyone. When we're talking about the truth, what is truth? Truth is that something that it can apply to every single person on this earth in every time, in every situation, every country, every corner of the earth. If someone applies something to a partial thing, or in America, we drive on the right. In England, we drive on the left. And so driving left or right is not truth because it's only applicable locally. In Vietnam, we drive on both sides. But truth is something must apply to every single situation, every person, every time, every time. So Jesus did not point out the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus did not come to teach us the truth, but Jesus said, I am the truth. Jesus did not come to show life. I am the life, Jesus said. So, in Jesus, we can see the way, the truth, and the life. In Christ, we can see life, truth. And because we are born in sin, that each one of us must die. That we should decide that we die forever. And that is truth. Sinners before God, and that's the truth. And so that person, whether born in any country, any age, in whatever era, doesn't matter, each of us are sinners before God, and that is the truth. Jesus has become man, carrying our sins, that every single one this person sin. It's on the shoulder of Jesus. And that's the truth. Because the death of Jesus has a value for all before Christ was born and after Christ was born. That death is not only for the people here now, but the one in the Old Testament from Adam on. All sinners can receive that grace, that salvation from Jesus. So the death of Jesus has become the point that God, that directs all of the people's sins on the shoulder of Jesus in that one point on the cross. Jesus is the truth for us. Jesus is the truth because Jesus is the only one who was born according to the natural process, biological process, that each one of us was born. It wasn't by the union of a man and woman, but Jesus was conceived in Mary because of the power of God. He's the creator. He created us. And the virgin conceived is nothing hard for God. God has chosen that way so that Jesus can come in a wonderful way. And since Jesus is the only person that's not been tainted by sin through the union of a man and a woman, and because of he was not conceived in sin, and the death on the cross must have the value for all humankind, for all time. I use a simple image. Each one of us, we have the candle, and each one can light up. If you don't have a candle without light, and I will light up the whole room? No. But if you put your candle next to mine to receive the fire, the light, you will receive the light. And like that I give the light from my candle to another, and those candles will be lit. Only by one candle, but the special that this candle of mine has light in it. So when Jesus is a sinless human and his death has the value to save every single person. And because our salvation is through the sinless person of Jesus. Only Jesus is someone God accepted as a sacrificial offering. And God raised Jesus from death. Jesus came. Many know, and the truth that Jesus came, the fact that Jesus was nailed on the cross and he rose is a historical fact that has people have been known. Only Jesus is one who destroyed the power of death. week so that everybody was, can be restored and replaced out of the power of faith. And so the value of Jesus is very different than the leader of salvation. We cannot save ourselves. But the wonderful thing God has done on Jesus Christ, and it became truth, is that when God put Christ in whatever situation, and that became represent the love of God in that. When Jesus came in a manger, lowly manger, and the creation, that manger has become a symbol of greatness. And we imagine the Son, yeah, was born in some basket. When we use the basket to decorate, when Jesus was born again, and the manger became a very well-known symbol of Christmas. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, and then the cross, it became was something was despised, an awful symbol. That's an evil symbol. And only the criminal must be punished in the cross. But when Jesus was nailed on the cross, then the cross has become a beautiful symbol of love. We've seen so many different places. The red cross, for example, to represent the love. And we decorate these our daughters and women that love to wear the cross. And somebody also have tattooed on the arm with the cross. And the cross, because the cross had become a glorified symbol, because the Son of God was nailed on that cross. When God put a Christ in the heart of that person became a symbol of love. Why didn't we honor Mary and Joseph? Why do we listen to all the apostles? Because they have Christ in them. When we have Christ in them, we become a symbol that we are called saints, the one that are set apart from God. And because God has become there, the word become flesh. Christmas had an influence all over the world. And in this season, there's an opportunity to do commercial activities, to make more money, maybe because of Christmas, that they will throw the parties. The marriage opportunity at home can go away and can have family reunions. And because Christmas is opportunity that they can give gifts to each other, is it that two countries are worried about to celebrate Christmas? Why? There is no other person on this world that can influence by Jesus. And from when he came into this world, it became the dividing time, whether you and I believe or not. Our death, day of death, and day of birth are all registered in time. Jesus came into this world, influenced each one of our lives. And today, the day that we have a holiday, the Sunday is the first of the week. Why did they choose the third or the fourth Sunday? All the nations choose Sunday as a day of rest. Because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. And here, that became the holiday for the entire world. Even in the countries that have all the religions, they didn't choose any other day. That day has influenced the entire world, whether they believe it or not. because God is the God of the whole world. So when Jesus came, it's something that has an effect and influence in my life, in your life. And whoever is born of the earth is affected by Jesus' word. If we have not given our life to Jesus, this is the opportunity for us to do so in this joyful occasion. What influence does Jesus have in our life? We have to question ourselves. Maybe you don't believe, but Jesus has an influence. The date of our birth is tied to the birth of Jesus. May the Lord help us understand this historical fact. It's impacting us in America. We have the right to possess something. When we created something original, it belongs to us. And with that patent, we can register that position officially. Jesus came into this world to create you and us, save our lives out of darkness, so he has a possession on us. None of us should not say that our life belongs to us. I can live the way I want. Our lives belong to Christ because he created us and saved us from darkness. We belong to him. And how we use our lives that we could not save ourselves. We have to belong to Jesus. Every day we have a breath. It's because of God's grace. We can still walk and work. It is because of God. God possessed us. He has the right on our life. And so we, in these days, to bow down and say with Jesus to Jesus, dear Jesus, please show us your way. We have come here to do the will of God. Let's all read together the key verse of today's message. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Dear our Heavenly Father who created us, you possess our life. I lift up to you all our hope, all our dreams, all our plans, all the time that we have, all the possession that we have, and all our wills in your hand. Dear God, may you make us to do your will, Lord. May your way lead our lives. We are thankful because you have come to change our situation, the situation of the world. We are trying to save ourselves by our achievements. No guarantee of what we achieve can save us. And what we do not understand about Jesus, but the fact that you have done for us on this earth still have an effect on our lives. May we have a new way of thinking so that we can come and invite Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. We're thankful for what Jesus has done on this season of Christmas. May you use these to remind us of what you have done on the cross so we can see that we have been saved, not because of our effort. We say, because of your mercy, your grace that you have done with Jesus on the cross. You are the truth, Lord. We believe in you. We are committing each one of us here into your hand. Our friends that are sitting together, may you have mercy on them so that we can experience your saving grace. We are thankful, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.